The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bill Friday, and I have with me across the desk Leslie R. Farkas. Now, I want to ask you, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I want to ask what the R stands for. That's what I want to do.
The R stands for a whole bunch of things. It's Robert, but respectful, responsible. I guess those are the things I've been accused of being. So it goes with a whole bunch of things.
Okay. Leslie, you are from where?
I am from Wasaga Beach. Both my children were born here in the beach, so we are beach people.
Very good. But you are Wasaga Skydive.
I am Wasaga Beach. It's only skydive operation and the premier tandem skydive operation in Canada.
Really?
Yes, we have the highest minimum standards for hiring our instructors in Canada. So basically all of the instructors are, you know, a few thousand of them. Of the few thousand of them, I think 30 of them are qualified to work at my place.
Isn't that amazing? So you have very high standards.
I always try to keep that. I find the best way to avoid unnecessary situations.
Sure. Now, tell me, do you yourself go up in the planes?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm actually the least qualified of the whole bunch. I only have about 4,000 jumps. I have an exhibition rating and all kinds of other ratings, so I match all the qualifications, the minimums, but I am, of the team, I'm the least experienced.
I want to talk about the event that's coming up at the end of August, but first of all, tell me, where do you operate from?
We operate out of the Wasaga Sports Park on Klondike Drive. And we also...
I didn't know there was a runway.
Oh, I was going to say, we also operate out of the Edenvale Aerodrome as well.
I see.
So we land at the park and we take off at the airport. And obviously land at the airport with the airplane, but with no one in it.
And now, have you ever tried to land... parachute onto the beach, onto the nice beach that we have.
We have been working on it for years. We have been back and forth with the ministry in regards to landing on the beach, and they have cited skydiving as a security or a public safety risk, but at the same time, then they approved kite surfing and allowed kite surfers to go ahead with no certification, no regulations, no anything, and their statistics for third-party injury are outrageous. So, you know, if that's not public safety, then I can't understand how we are a public safety issue. But, I mean, we're working on it.
So if somebody wants to do a parachute jump mm-hmm. with you, they take off, obviously, from the Edenvale Airport, is that right?
Yeah, first they show up at the park,
yeah,
and we make them watch a scary movie to tell them all of the risks involved of making a parachute jump. It's part of the process, obviously. We want to make sure everybody's well-educated before they do it. And they watch the video and then sign the paperwork. And once we're all done with that, then we get to the instructors, and the instructors will gear them up, or I'll gear them up, depending if I'm on rotation that day. And then we head over to the airport, get in the plane, and obviously there's about 10 minutes of training in the mix there, too.
I would think at least 10 minutes.
It's not as bad as you would think. Basically, what we're doing is teaching you how to get out of the way for us as we leave the plane. So you're more or less just holding onto your harness and arching your body to create a nice stable fall, and then we do the rest.
Yeah. So you take off from the Edenvale Airport.
Yes.
And you fly around a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then you finally find the park. And that's where we're going to jump to, is that right?
That is exactly where we're going to land.
You're landing on the soccer field there?
We're landing in the back baseball diamond, in the back corner, in the south, I guess that would be the southwest corner of the field. We do have three separate landing areas actually throughout the park in case the wind conditions are not favorable in that direction on that landing area. So sometimes if the wind's coming out of the south, we'd rather be set back further from the trees. So we'll switch over to a soccer field. And then obviously if the wind's coming from the northwest, we'll be landing in that baseball.
My next question is, How did Leslie R. Farkas get involved in this?
Oh my goodness, that is a long story, but an interesting one, I guess. When I was 35 years old, I was 5 years out of a divorce, and my children had moved with my ex-wife to Kentucky. And my 14-year-old daughter called me after, I guess I'd been trying to jump for about 18 years, it never happened. So anyways, we're fast forward now, I'm 35, and I get a call from my 14-year-old daughter who says, "Hey Dad, you're going to be a grandpa." So I hung up the phone with her, I pick up the phone, and I call the Skydive Center and said, "Hey, I want to jump out of an airplane." and then I hung up with them and I called everybody that was supposed to jump with me for every year everybody had plans. We always had plans and they always got canceled. So I said, "Listen, the bus is leaving 6 o'clock Saturday morning. If you're here, great. If you're not, I'm going by myself." And I went by myself. No one showed up, so I just went on my own. I did my very first jump and I found something that I had never... I mean, everybody always thinks that skydiving is... it's an adrenaline and there's something more to it. If you can picture being 35 years old and having your 14-year-old daughter tell you that she's pregnant, try to focus on something and not think of that. And not, something is always penetrating the focus bubble. I mean, everybody, you always try to focus on something. There's always something kind of poking at it. But when you jump out of an airplane, that doesn't happen. You don't think of anything but what you're doing. So for 60 seconds, for 6 minutes, I was in the air. I was living in the moment and I found my true peace. And I was, that was it. I landed, I looked at the guy who took me and said, "Hey, I'm gonna do that guy's job." And I pointed at the camera guy. And my instructor actually laughed at me and said, yeah, everybody says they're always gonna come back. Everybody says it. But I was back the next week. I did my first jump course. By the end of that season, I had my license. By the end of the following season, I was an entry-level instructor. And by the end of the following season, I pretty much had every single license there was to have. So I went headlong into it, and I found something that I really, truly loved, and it really grabbed me. And I, like I said, the catch was, it was zen-like. There was living in that moment, that there's just something magic about it.
So how long ago was that now?
That was now, we're going on to almost 10 years. That's 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've done really a lot in those 10 years.
I've done a lot in the 10 years for sure. When I started, I didn't kind of test the water and put one foot in the other foot, pardon the pun, but I jumped in with both feet. I moved on to an airfield within the first season of jumping in March. I was living in a trailer. I was at first living in a tent, actually, for the first 3 months. And then I upgraded the tent to a trailer. And before that, I was in a nice condo in Maple Leaf Square, right downtown Toronto, living a nice, luxurious life. All my friends owned the bars and I knew everybody, so I was really comfortable, but I wasn't happy. I was okay, but I wasn't happy. And then I did that first jump. And that winter, after getting my license, I spent the whole winter showing every friend of mine how to skydive. Okay, I was arching on stools and going, "Look, this is how you do it." So I realized that, you know what, it's got me. I'm going to see what I can do. And I went to the place that I was jumping at. And I said, "Listen, I'd like to come and become an instructor." And they had construction going on at the time. And I have that as a fallback trade. I did a fair bit of construction. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll trade you you pay me and I'll spend the money right here jumping." And basically that's what happened. I ended up becoming their groundskeeper, their maintenance guy, their drywaller, absolutely everything. My mother used to call me at 11 o'clock at night just to check on me, and she didn't like skydiving at first. She really didn't like the whole idea. And she would call, and it was 11 o'clock and I'd be mopping the hangar or I'd be scrubbing the toilets and my mother was just beside herself thinking like, "Wow, it's not like you to be like working that much all the time. You must." And finally she realized that, I really love it, and got behind it. So then I had family support too. So it grew even further and even stronger. And then I did about 4 years of pre-work trying to open Skydive Wasaga Beach. After my second season of jumping, and my mind had already moved forward to this phase. I had seen some holes in where I was working and the way things were done that I thought we could do better. Yeah. So I put the wheels in motion. And then 4 years later, we got our approvals. And I was in Panama, actually, when everything kind of happened with council. that I got the approval. And my wife called me in Panama and said, well, you got to come home. We have a council meeting in a week. So I had to drop all my operation in Panama, come down, and obviously get our approvals and get everything started. And we were actually approved to land on the beach. The only step, again, is the ministry, and that was just kind of a last second block. They went, nope, you can't do it. But I tell you what, I am determined, and I tend not to give up.
So one day that will happen.
One day that will happen.
I see. All right, now let's go a little bit further. You've got something really big happening at the end of August.
Yes, indeed. August 31st to September 6th, I am very proud to say that we are hosting the Canadian National Parachuting Championships. Not just the Canadian National Parachuting Championships, but the 60th.
Wow.
It's 60 years of competitive skydiving in Canada. It also happens to be the 75th year anniversary for the D-Day parachute drops, and also the 100th anniversary for the first intentional freefall. So this year is a big one. And we have really gone, we're working really hard to make it something that is beyond what it's been, and really try to create something that is very family friendly, very open to the public, because typically these things will happen in a farm field in the middle of nowhere and, you know, nobody sees it. I think it's time for the public to see what we do and how we do, because they watch it on the internet every day.
So, is it going to be down at the sports park?
It will be down at the sports park. In fact, for the first 3 days, we're going to have a supporting festival, a flight festival. So there will be, the Modelers Association will be set up there doing remote control plane demos and drone races.
That in itself is exciting.
Indeed. And we'll have a midway and games. We're also going to have Wasaga Beach Paintball is setting up a laser tag field. Wasaga Beach Hand Racing is setting up, you know, the remote control cars. They're setting up a track for the kids. The Mike Jackson's is going to be one of their guys over there is a sponsored motocross guy, and he's bringing in his entire sponsored package, and he's going to be bringing in small motocross for kids to ride. The Free Spirit Tours is going to be set up with canoe and stand-up paddle rentals. There will be a beer garden. The Wasaga Beach Brewing Company will be set up. We will have a stage. We have many acts lined up. Shane Cluche, Shipyard Kitchen Party, just to name a couple. We have Sawyer Bullock, our local fantastic magician, is going to be coming doing a stage show. We're actually going to do Magic in the Park right there at dinner time. So we're going to be able to have dinner and a magic show. And then actually he'll be roaming around for an hour after that doing magic in and amongst the crowd. And then we have the skydiving. There's going to be 10 events for the skydiving. There's classic accuracy, where the guys are jumping out at about 4,000 feet. And they have on their heels basically a little point. And they're trying to hit a target on a map that is less than it's about 2 centimeters. So they're trying to hit that from 4,000 feet in very slow-moving parachutes that are, if you're not exactly accurate, it's very easy to miss. It's a very, 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 very fine skill to do it. So that has been around for years and years and years, and that will be on the weekend, on the Saturday and the Sunday. So you'll actually be able to stand there and watch these guys crashing into the mat and hitting that target. And we're also going to have sport accuracy, which is a little bit of a faster parachute. And they'll be coming in and landing on a painted target on the ground, basically rings and landing within the rings. We're also going to have what's known as CRW, which is canopy relative work, where two parachutes are going to be joined up. Once they open up, they're going to be hanging on to each other and doing tricks while the two parachutes are joined up together. That'll be on the weekend as well. We have a 10-way Speed Star, which is from the Point Break movie, if you remember, and all of the other skydive movies. They always do that 10-way Speed Star, where 10 of them are joined up in a circle, and the idea is to get there as fast as you can. So they'll try to leave the plane individually and get together in that circle as fast as they possibly can. And then they break off and open their parachutes and land. That's also slated for the weekend. We have 4-way skydiving, where they turn and they do different formations. So they're touching, one guy will be grabbing onto one guy's leg, and then he'll turn and grab onto the other guy's arm. And every time they turn, it's counted as a point. So every time they make a contact, it's counted as a point, and that's how it's scored. There's 8-way, which is the same thing, but with 8 people. There's 4-way vertical free fly, which is the one I mentioned right now. They're flying belly down. So they're on their bellies, and you know, it would be like lying on your ground, on the belly on the ground. These VFS guys are actually doing about 200 kilometers or 200 miles an hour head down and, wow. and stand position. So there's not a lot of friction slowing them down. They're going very, very fast. And then we have artistic free fly, where I'm sure you've seen, you know, where people are doing multiple flips through the air, and there's a camera guy, and there's a camera guy in every single jump. So the footage will be, we're working on having it broadcast down into the beer garden. So everybody who's sitting down in there and sitting at the tables will be able to see the landings. And they'll also be able to see the actual aerial footage. I'm losing count now. I think we've got the artistic free fly, the four ways, the eight ways, the 10 ways, the accuracy. I think that's about it. I've got 10 of them in total. So there'll be a whole bunch to see. And each one is very, it's very specific, and it involves a very specific skill. So one guy from one event probably won't do so well if he went to another event. It really takes years to get to the point of being at that. And of those 10 events, I believe four of them are qualifiers. And this is the other exciting part. The 2020 World Championships, which are slated to be the largest in history, this 2019 Nationals is the qualifier. So the winners from this will move on to represent Canada at the Worlds. And there are four events of the 10 events that will be moving on to the World events.
And where are the Worlds?
In Siberia.
In Siberia.
You would never guess it, but I've seen the plans, and they have done something absolutely gorgeous. They have, I'm not sure if they took something and built it or took an existing and made it better, but the facility is gorgeous with hotels all around, and I mean, they're expecting thousands and thousands of people.
Talking about thousands and thousands of people, how do the people here in Wasaga Beach, how do they get to see this close-up?
Oh, all they have to do is come to the Wasaga Sports Park at 1-888 Klondike Park, on Klondike Road, and there's no admission. You just come on down.
There's no admission.
There's no admission. There is a midway, so don't forget your wallets. There's stuff to spend money on for sure, but there's no admission. We want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to see it in town.
Well, and how is the event financed, basically?
Well, I'll just smile on that one and, and then take a little bow. We're working on basically getting as many sponsors as we can. Okay. And obviously, we're never going to achieve the goal. I mean, this is well into the six figures, this event. So, you know, all the help that we can get along the way, and we've got some great help. We've got Stonebridge. We've got Boston Pizza. We've got Tim Hortons. We've got Marlwood Golf Course. We've got the Wasaga Beach Lions Club. We've got Wasaga Beach Brewing Company. We've got, oh my goodness, the list of town of Wasaga Beach. We've got every single one of the events that are being brought into town, the Wasaga Beach Paintball and all them, everybody is supporting. So this, for me, is a really special experience, because it's really given me in a divided time, it's given me a real unified feeling.
Now, you mentioned earlier in our talk that it actually goes to September the 6th.
Yes. Is that? Yes, indeed. So, it goes for 7 days.
Oh, it does. Okay.
So the first 3 days, there'll be the festival and all kinds of activities. And then for the last 4 days, it will simply just be the skydiving events. So you'll be free to come down and watch, and we'll have the bleachers set up. But the festival will only be for the first 3 days. And then the last day...
So then the festival is for 3 days.
Yes.
So the last days of the event are going to be competition. Is that right?
Well, the first 3 days will have competition as well. But the last 4 days will be only competition. There'll just be no midway, and all that stuff will be packed up, and it'll be just mm-hmm. us in the park. And then the last day, the closing ceremonies, we're planning something extra special. Marlwood is a sponsor, Marlwood Golf Course, and we will be doing the closing ceremonies over there. We will be doing I don't want to let too much out of the bag, but we'll be doing an exhibition jump with a whole bunch of professionally rated skydivers, because those are the only ones qualified like us to do that kind of jumping.
And they're going to land on the 18th green.
We're going to land all over that. Yeah, for sure. That's our plan. In fact, I have something extra special planned for the opening ceremonies. We have RE/MAX as a sponsor as well, and RE/MAX is supplying the hot air balloon for the opening ceremonies. I've got a gentleman by the name of Lonnie Bissonnette, who is a friend through a friend. And Lonnie Bissonnette is a Canadian para bobsled champ, a skydiver, and a base jumper. And he doesn't have use of his legs. He recently was, well, I talked to them, and we talked about doing something special for Nationals. I said, well, why don't I land in a wheelchair? So recently, they actually were practicing, and I'm proud to say that they pulled it off for the first time ever. They took a gentleman in a wheelchair into free fall with his own parachute, and he free fell for a period of time, and then pulled his own parachute and flew his own parachute down, but with the wheelchair attached to him. That's what's unique about this, because we have seen lots of paraplegics jumping out of airplanes. Because as long as you have the use of your arms, you can fly the parachute. But we've never seen anyone leave with that heavy, with the wheelchair attached to them. So he'll be landing at the opening ceremonies with that wheelchair.
This is pretty exciting. This is really exciting.
This is very exciting. This is very exciting. This is, like I said, this is a special one in terms of the year. It's obviously our first time hosting, so we're going to bust our butts to do a great job. It's to me, it's a piece of Canadian history that deserves a lot of respect. The connection between parachuting and Canada, you know, most people don't realize that without parachutes, we wouldn't be a free nation. That the paratroopers in World War II were instrumental in making the difference. And, you know, that kind of, it gets forgotten because it's a dangerous thing, and that, you know, people all often go, ooh. But I will say that in the time from that D-Day jump to today, the technology has improved 1,000-fold. I mean, you experience on landing no more impact than stepping off your front porch. We land just like an airplane, and in fact, every one of my instructors is certified to land in a 5x5 meter square every single time.
That is amazing, and you have to be excited for what's coming up. I just can't imagine all the details that you're going through.
Oh, it's exciting and daunting. I will say the details. Remember, there's the events and all that. And then I'm also the owner of the commercial aviation operation that supplies the airlift for all of this. So there's Transport Canada. There's like all kinds of guidelines that have to be followed. It's much more involved than people would ever imagine.
You have a whole list and you have a little tick mark beside
it. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? I have whiteboards across my office I have working lists going at any given time. And right now, I think I have about 8 whiteboards on the go just for the Nationals.
That's amazing. Amazing. Well, Leslie R. Farkas, we're really happy that you came in and did this interview this morning. What an exciting time you have coming up, for sure.
Thank you.
And of course, you your regular daily basis, you do these jumps.
I'm on my way right now to go jump out of an airplane. Right as soon as I leave from here, I'm heading right to the plane.
Well, don't forget your parachute.
No, it's waiting for me over there. Well, thank you very much, Bill, for giving me the opportunity to get the word out and helping us get this information out. And I'd like to make sure that everybody in Wasaga Beach understands that there is no cover. Come and see it.
It's amazing.
Check it out.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Beach Booster Radio.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.